Thank you all for being here. Happy to be here. Amen? All right. Our lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 13th chapter, and I would invite you into the story as I tell it. It is Holy Week. Our text takes place in the last days of Jesus' life. The Palm Sunday parade down the Mount of Olives has already taken place. Jesus has been teaching in the temple. Meanwhile, the religious people were keeping an eye on him and planning his execution. As Jesus left the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, Rabbi, look! Look what awesome stones and buildings. The temple of Herod, by all accounts, it was amazing. It was an amazing sight to see set high upon a hill in Jerusalem. And the stones that made up the temple complex were enormous." Enormous for that day, right, Pastor? No, enormous for any day. The stones in the walls of the Temple Mount are amazing. Get this now. The largest stones weigh 415 tons. Means little to you? Okay, let's give you a comparison. By comparison, the largest stones at Stonehenge weigh 40 tons. And the stones that built the pyramids in Egypt weighed 15 tons each. Still hard to grasp the size? Here's one more comparison. The largest stones were 415 tons. A fully loaded 747 has a maximum takeoff weight of 487 tons. Fully loaded with cargo, with passengers. Those amazing stones had to be cut from solid rock in the quarry. Then they had to be transported to the work site and lifted into place. The building project of King Herod was the largest building project in the Roman Empire at its day. One of the disciples, a small town fisherman, no doubt from the Galilee, was awestruck, saying, "Teacher, look, look what awesome stones and buildings." And Jesus responded by saying, "Do you see these enormous buildings? Not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." That seemed unlikely. That seemed almost impossible. And so it was quiet now as the disciples followed Jesus down through the Kidron Valley to the hillside of the Mount of Olives. Yes, poor people, common people, could not afford to stay inside the city walls of Jerusalem. They camped on the hillside of the Mount of Olives. It offered a cheap alternative, and it offered them a breathtaking view of perhaps the most elaborate building in the world. Peter, James, John, and Andrew were now sitting next to Jesus, and they asked him privately, they said, "Tell us, Lord, tell us, when will these things happen? What sign will show us that all these things are about to come to an end?" They wanted to know. Could we blame them? They wanted to know. Scientists today spend their lives looking for signs of volcanic activity. Scientists spend their lives studying the great continental plates, hoping to predict earthquakes. "When," they said, "Jesus, when, Lord, tell us when this will happen." Jesus responded saying, "Watch out. Watch out that no one deceives you. Many people will come in my name saying that they are the one. They will deceive many people. When you hear of wars or rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. These things must happen, but it is not the end. Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other, and there'll be earthquakes and famines in all sorts of places. These things are just the beginning of the sufferings associated with the end." There you have it, the gospel of the Lord. Wow, kind of holding back on me. Soon Jesus would be crucified. And Christianity, which did not even have a name yet, would be illegal. And the followers of Jesus would be dispersed, and they would be persecuted, and they would be imprisoned, and they would be beaten, and they would be killed. And yet their participation in the movement that Jesus had started was critical. If the world was going to be changed for good, then the followers of Jesus had to be the primary vehicles for that change. 100 years ago, the war to end all wars ended. And there has rarely been a peaceful year in the 100 years that have followed. Let me give you the exact numbers. In the last 3,400 years of human history, there have been exactly 268 peaceful years in total. Wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. There are an average 12 to 15,000 earthquakes every year on planet Earth. Famines? It's impossible to number all the famines of human history. But we do know the great famines of the 1800s, 1810, 11, 46, and 49 killed some 45 million people. And the great leap forward famine in China just 60 years ago took the lives of 18 to 42 million Chinese. Jesus said, there will be earthquakes, there will be famines, and we might add to the list, there will be contagion and floods, and there will be wildfires. What was Jesus' message? Expect it. Expect natural and man-made disasters. Expect persecution and war. Expect it, but do not be afraid. And do not lose hope. And do not sit idly by looking for signs. Do not sit passively on the couch watching 6 hours of CNN every day, wringing your hands and crying and losing all hope. Do not sit by saying, all is lost, the world is a terrible place, I'm afraid, I'm paralyzed, I can't move. Now, granted, sometimes crying is the only sane response to loss or the many tragedies of this world. And crying, we know, is healthy for us. I got to tell you, there's a lot of crying been going on in this congregation this fall. I go through a lot of Kleenex boxes in my office, I guarantee you. By all means, when you need to cry, you should cry. But keep your crying in check. For every minute you spend crying, spend 10 minutes or 10 hours reaching out to others who are crying, and you will feel better yourself. Crying can be good. A part of every human journey is crying, but crying in and of itself changes nothing. So cry, yes, and then get up. Get out of bed. Make a difference. Make things better. You see, Jesus needs us out there in the world. Now, it's been said that all we need to know in life we learn in kindergarten. I'm not sure if that is true. I think I'd add to the list. All we need to know in life we learn in kindergarten from Mr. Rogers and from the Godfather. The singer turned actor Johnny Fontaine needs some help. He turns to Marlon Brando.
I don't know what to do. My voice is weak. It's weak. Anyway, if I had this part in the picture, you know, it puts me right back up on top again. But this man out there, he won't give it to me. The head of the studio.
What's his name?
Waltz. Waltz. He won't give it to me. And he says, there's no chance. No chance. A month ago, he bought the movie rights to this book. Bestseller. And the main character is a guy just like me. I wouldn't even have to act. Just be myself. Godfather, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
You can act like a man. What's the matter with you? Is this how you turn down a Hollywood Pinocchio that cries like a woman? What can I do? What can I do? What is that, man?
Thank you. You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good.
Because a man that doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man. You look terrible. I want you to eat. I want you to rest well, and a month from now, this Hollywood big shot's gonna give you what you want.
Too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
A disclaimer a little later in the service, you want to hear that too, but crying, though sometimes necessary in our lives, rarely does anything to solve our problems. Now, I'm going to maintain that there are three types of people in the world, and I made all of this up, so please give it the respect it deserves. There are three types of people in the world. The first, people who do not care. They don't care about much of anything. It's all about them. They just want to eat, drink, and be merry, having their needs taken care of is all that matters to them. They don't care. They don't care about the common good. They don't care about their carbon footprint. They don't care about recycling. They don't care about the next generation. Eat, drink, and be merry. Keep my money. Keep my toys. Take care of number one. People who don't care don't cry much. And if you felt that way, if you were in this category, my guess is you wouldn't be here this morning. You'd be doing something else. The second category of people would be a group that cares a lot, and they cry a lot. They have deep concerns. They spend a lot of time and energy lamenting the state of the world. This group is fearful, anxiety-prone, unable to move, afraid of travel, paralyzed by fear, overwhelmed by the magnitude of the world's complexities and the problems in the world. They've largely lost hope as they watch the nightly news 24 hours a day. They grieve for a world that's not as it should be, and a human race that's bigoted and self-centered and sinful and isn't ever going to get better. Now, for the sake of our discussion this morning, there's three types of people. Those who don't care, and they're not likely to. Those who care so much that they can't seem to find a way out. Maybe they've lost hope. And finally, there are those who care deeply. Those who care so much that they will not be stopped from doing good. They care deeply, and they believe that they can and must do something to make the world, the environment, our communities, and our nation better. Now, if they are people of faith, they're not always. Oftentimes, people in this category are not people of faith. But if they are people of faith, they believe that God is working with them and that God has called them to labor on behalf of peace and justice, to labor and to advocate for the voiceless, the oppressed, the alien, the immigrant, minorities, and the unborn. This group knows that they cannot rid the world of all injustice. They cannot take care of the needs of 7 billion people. They cannot overcome all hate and racism and evil. They cannot on their own stop global warming, but that reality does not stop them from doing something. From working for the common good, from waking up each and every morning believing that God has called them to do ministry in the place where they find themselves that day. Dorothy Day, the political activist who helped found the Catholic worker movement, a woman who advocated for the poor and the right of women to vote. When Pope Francis came to our country and addressed Congress, he mentioned Dorothy Day in the same category with Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King Jr. Dorothy Day and Mother Teresa would be in category 3. Mother Teresa had no illusions that she could care for all of the poor in the second most populous country in the world. But that would not stop her from going to Calcutta, India, to make a difference in the lives of the poorest of the poor. And her humble service would not only provide some relief to the poor, it would also inspire millions of others around the globe to follow her. Now, not everyone in Category 3 changes the world, but those in Category 3 have a reason to wake up in the morning. They have a purpose. They believe that they are not helpless. They believe that their good works can make a difference in the world, a world that thirsts for kindness and compassion and forgiveness. There was a man who lived on the Oregon coast, and he loved the view from his house of the Pacific Ocean. And one morning, he held up his binoculars to his eyes, hoping for a gray whale sighting. But he noticed there was a man down on the beach going through some strange ritual. Was it yoga or Tai Chi? No, it wasn't. He kept leaning down and making some strange throwing motion. Well, the man was intrigued, so he put on his boots, he walked down to the beach, and he asked the man, he said, "What are you doing?" The man responded that he was throwing starfish back into the ocean. Starfish that had been left on the shore by the retreating tide and were sure to die if they were left there. The man with the binoculars shook his head. He said, "Do you know how long this coast is? Do you have any idea how many starfish there are on this beach? You don't really think you're making a difference, do you?" The man smiled and said, "All I know is that I make a difference for the ones I throw back, and that is enough for me." Tommy Arhontas, Tommy the Greek, Tommy the bus driver, he had a vision 20 years ago. He dreamed of showing care and compassion to our neighbors here on the island on Thanksgiving. And so he started the mobile turkey unit. And they served 25 meals in 1998. Tommy died some years back. And when Tommy died, it would have been pretty easy to just let his vision go. It would have been pretty easy to have cried, to have shaken our fists towards heaven, to say it's not fair that we would lose someone like Tommy, and then to just let the mobile turkey unit die with him. This Thanksgiving, the mobile turkey unit will serve more than 500 meals. You see, we are called. We are called to dry our tears and get in the game. We must refuse to give up hope. We must refuse to be silenced by evil. We are not helpless. With God's help, we can make a difference. We can change the world, or at least we can change this little corner of God's creation. This week is Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. We are blessed beyond what is reasonable for us to expect. This week is Thanksgiving. And you know what? There are lots of things wrong in our nation. There are lots of things wrong in our politics and in our world. And there are lots of things wrong, I don't have to tell you, in our bodies and in our families. Good enough, we're all human. And humans can do terrible things to each other. But come on, open your eyes. This week is Thanksgiving. And if you're spending more time crying than giving thanks, then something's wrong. You've got a vision problem. You need an attitude adjustment. You need to change your perspective, but you also need to change your expectations. If you're spending more time crying than giving thanks, then I suggest you sign up to serve meals with the mobile turkey unit this Thursday. Then you get off the couch, you get out of bed, you turn off the news, you quit listening to talk radio, and be a force for good. Serve, quilt, cut wood, write a letter to Congress. Protest, resist, vote. And if that's not enough, visit the elderly at Carriage or Maple Ridge. Volunteer at Good Cheer Food Bank, or visit that neighbor of yours that you know is a shut-in. Refuse to be silenced. Refuse to be discouraged by things that are out of your control, and instead ask a simple question: what is in your control right now, today? You see, the question is not what is wrong with the world. The question is, what can I do to make the world a better place today? The question is not, where is God in the midst of suffering? The question is, where am I when those around me are suffering? What can I do right now? The disciples said, "Jesus, we want to know. We want to know the signs of the end times. We want to watch for them. We want to keep track of them. We're a little worried here, Lord." And Jesus said, "Get busy. Quit worrying. Quit looking for signs. Quit crying, thinking that you're helpless. There are people out there who need to be fed. They're lonely. They're forgotten. They're all around you. Get busy. Do in your life what you've seen me do in my life. Don't be afraid. Wash, touch, heal, forgive, hold, comfort, feed, be light in a world of darkness. Get outside of yourself and live. Get outside of yourself and love. This I believe with all my heart, because I have seen it lived out by you in this place for the past 29 years. I know that we can make a difference. Amen.